Okay, we're going side. We're up to Se'if Tes of Siman Sadi Beis. This is based on the Trumas Hadeshen. Basically, the Mechaber is quoting here a Trumas Hadeshen. It's just people argue about exactly what the Trumas Hadeshen meant. Says the Shulchan Aruch, he contrasts two cases. Not based on any Gemara, just the Trumas Hadeshen said all this misvara. Ner shel chelev asoy kener shel shava. Chelev, the important part of chelev is that it's treif. Asoy kener shel shava is the way of using the English, saying the English word candle. Meaning ner often means lamp, right? There were seven neros on the menorah, it had nothing to do with candles. It just means like bowls of oil with a wick in it. But sometimes ner means a candle. So that's how he says a candle. It's made like a ner of wax, and wax is always a candle. So he means if you have a candle of treif chelev, and a drop of that treif chelev fell on the kli. Nowadays, all the Shabbos candles and all the Yahrzeit candles and everything say that they're kosher. They're not made of chelev. Probably the goyims are also not made of chelev anymore. But in those days, they were all made of some sort of animal fat, and it was often a treif fat. So if a drop of this treif chelev falls on a kli, from a candle in tzarkim greater, you only need to scrape it. Aval chelev huta cham should nafal min atipa al kli tzarich hagala. But boiling melted chelev, meaning if it falls from a solid candle, it needs greater. If it falls liquid boiling chelev, that a drop it fell on the kli, then it's more chomer, it needs hagala. Why do you have this boiling hot chelev? So the case is you had a ner, meaning a lamp, not a candle, where you had like a wick in a pool of molten liquid chelev, and a drop from that fell onto your kli, needs hagala. The assumption is, the Trumas Hadeshen says, a drop that falls from the burning part of a liquid oil lamp is hotter than a drop that rolls off of a candle. Okay, I never tried the experiments, but seems reasonable. Now, the question is just, what does greida mean, and how does this relate to the normal rules? After all, what case is this similar to? Something hot or cold is falling onto something hot or cold. What's the case?
The hadacha cases from before?
Something hot, right? The drop of chelev is falling on something cold, a stam kli that was lying there minding its own business. So this cham letotzone, the normal rule of cham letotzone should be tata gavur and should aser kdei klipa. Or another way of saying this, iroi is a vashal kdei klipa. So we would think it should aser kdei klipa, but yet we make a chiluk between the candle and the oil lamp. So the question is, which one of these is kdei klipa and which one of these is not kdei klipa? And this is the fundamental machlokas. How does anyone want to tell me? Someone who reads this Shulchan Aruch one way. Let's just read this case. The first case is from a candle, and it needs greida. The second case is from an oil lamp, and it needs hagala. So, which one of these is usher kedei klipa? Right, meaning we have our rules, right? Yerideya has general rules. We want to know how this fits into our rules. Our rule, we would have just said Aser Kedei Klipa. We wouldn't have put a special sif for the Shulchan Aruch about this. Cham L'Totzone, we know about Cham L'Totzone. Yet, the Mechaber makes this distinction. So which one of these is Aser Kedei Klipa and which one of these isn't? Anyone? Is Aser Kedei Klipa. Right, that is, I mean, it's not right or wrong, that is the opinion of the Shach and the Taz here, right? Which is why Yaakov Moshe said it. Right? So one opinion is the Shach Simit, the Shach and the Taz, right here, both agree. The Shach is very explicit, the Taz is pretty explicit also. Shach, the Taz, Simit, Sadi, Beis, you'll see why I write that in a moment. What do they say? They say that, now, what does this really come down to? It comes down to greida of what? Scraping off what? There are two ways to understand greida. They say greida equals greidas hachelev. Greida means scrape off the chelev. Scrape off the chelev, meaning there's no blia. While hagala means there's a blia kedei klipa. How do you get rid of a blia kedei klipa? Well, the same way you get rid of a blia that's more than kedei klipa. You do hagala. Hagala gets rid of blios of any depth. Right? That's how the Shapin Tazridis. In which case, what's the Svara? Right? Let's just fill in the Svara here. This is just a case of Cham Letok Tzomein, which is Mavliyah Kedei Klipa. Why in the first case? It's hot into cold. Why is it Mavliyah Kedei Klipa? So what do they explain? What's the Svara over here? What does the Taz say? Well, read the Shach. Shach says that okay, he's not talking about exactly this case, but we'll mention that in a second. Here, what did he say? He says this is not considered Iroi because Nifsak Hakiluach. If Nifsak Hakiluach is not considered Iroi, then even if it's from an oil lamp, it's one drop fell. One drop fell means the whole lamp didn't spill. It says a drop fell. That's Nifsak Hakiluach. So the answer is that, and even Nifsak Hakiluach is considered Eroy if it's from the fire. What do we mean by this? He says, if you stam have a drop nifsak hakiluach from a kli rishon, that's not Eroy. It's nifsak hakiluach, that's not Eroy. If you have a drop that rolls off a candle, that's not nifsak hakiluach. That's not coming from right near the fire. But a drop from an oil lamp is coming from right next to the fire. Something which is right next to the fire, even if sekakiluach is considered Iroi. And he would say the same thing about, let's say, cooking. There would be a difference between a nifsekakiluach, a drop that spills, benifsekakiluach, from a pot, and a drop that splatters from roasting meat. From roasting meat that's right by the fire, a drop that splatters, that would be Iroi, would be bavliyah kedei klipa. From a pot that's not right by the fire, that would not be lovely if they leave us. So here, what does he add to this? He says, so too, a Eroi Mikidera Shenifsa Kakiluach Eino Oser, but Eroi Mi Sli Eitzel Ha'esh. Here I'm adding it in. He doesn't say this, but that's clearly what he has in mind. What aser?
Okay. That's such a good.
Is there a garbage can in that corner?
Oh yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's just a few dollars. Okay. That's what the Shach says. In which case, from the Shach comes a big chiddush. What's the big chiddush that comes from the Shach? The big chiddush that comes from the Shach is that Eroi is not a problem if it's Nifsek HaKiluach, unless it's coming from the fire. But if it's coming from not right by the fire, then Eroi is not a problem. So according to this, let's say I was like, I don't know, carrying a chulin pot or a cup of, you know, hot chocolate or something, and a little drop splashed and landed on something, and it was Nifsek HaKiluach, then it wouldn't be any problem whatsoever. That's Nifsek HaKiluach, it's not near the fire. Even if a pot was on the fire and I jiggled it, and out of the pot came one drop Nifsek HaKiluach, that wouldn't be a problem. Because it's from inside the pot, it's not from right next to the fire. Only if something right next to a fire would be a problem Nifsek HaKiluach. This is a big kula in terms of the halachos of Blios, that any time you have a drop that's not attached to where it came from, it's Nifsek HaKiluach, and it's not coming from right next to the fire, it's coming from food that was heated by the fire, then it's not a problem. That's a big kula. That's what the Shach and the Taz say the Mechaber means here.
Why is an oil lamp considered any closer than a candle?
It's a great question. After all, the candle also has a fire, just like the oil lamp does.
I thought the chiluk might be liquid versus not liquid.
No, they're both liquid when they fall, right? The candle drips, melted, liquid. Okay. The only thing that I can only think of one of two answers. Either number one, maybe the candle, like sometimes like it rolls down the candle a little and it's not from right next to the fire. Or perhaps the candle it becomes liquefied even before it gets to a very high temperature. Like, if you think about it, the candle has a relatively low melting point. It's true. So when it drips in the candle, now again, everything has a different melting point. It all depends on what the candle's made of. I never checked the melting point of chilev. Sure, I could look it up on the internet. But it could be that the melting point of chilev is relatively low. So it's going to drip when it's not so boiling hot. However, the heat of the oil that's burning with the wick there is going to be much hotter than the melting drop, because it melts as soon as it reaches its
right.
melting point.
It drops off right away.
It drops right, and then it's not really so hot yet. So let's grant him that. You know, he had experience with these things that we don't, so I'm sure he knew what he was talking about from everyday life. You know, I'm sure, like, whatever, like, once he dripped on himself from a candle, and once he dripped on himself from an oil lamp, and he felt that one really burned and one didn't, meaning this is everyday life, so, you know, I assume the chemistry, the physics works out. Okay.
That's how candles work.
What?
That's how candles work. They first turn to liquid, and then they kilu are like oil lamps.
Ah, okay, but I guess the part that drifts off is in the the oil lamp stage. Great. Okay, this is a big chiddush, because the, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger says here, this is this Shach changed his mind about this. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger here, the last Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says, "V'trumas adeshim v'ortam the cham al kalpanim ko iwar shel nifzak hakiluach v'haynu the sphere le kaposkim the iwar shel nifzak hakiluach aser." Okay, sorry. He's saying the other. What does the trumas adeshim say? The trumas adeshim says, "Ah, iwar shel nifzak hakiluach is oser b'kulo k'mo kli rishon." He takes the opposite approach. What does he say? He says the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says, no, better. I apologize. I'm going to just rewrite this a little. So I want to start with what everyone agrees. Everyone agrees this. Candle Greda says the Trumas Adeshen because Nifsak HaKiluach. And here, by the way, you leave the Halach because since it comes from next to the fire, it's like Iroi Shalom Nifsak HaKiluach. Okay, so what are the two Perushim in this Trumas Adeshen? This is the Trumas Adeshen. The question is, what did he mean? So one derech of what he meant, which is the Shach and the Taz in Simen Sadi Beis, is that Greda equals Gredas HaChelev. Just scrape off the Chelev. Equals no Blia. And Hagalah equals Blia Kedei Klipa. Okay, how does he know that? Because, you know, you need to do something. Something is probably Kedei Klipa. And then what's the rule? The rule is that Iroi Shalom Nifsak HaKiluach is Mavliya Kedei Kippa, while the rule is that Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach Eino Oser. Right, and now we have a big kula. Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach doesn't bother anyone. That's the Shach and the Taz, right here, how they interpret this machaber. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says differently. He says no.
The machaber here meant something totally different. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that's all a greda means.
Greda doesn't mean scrape off the chelev. This is what it all comes down to in terms of the meaning of the words. Greda means, what's the other option? Or what's the other option? Not scrape the chelev. Scrape the kli. Scrape how much off the kli?
Exactly. Greda equals Gredas HaKli equals Blia Kedei Klipa. And that's what he means. He means if it falls from the candle, that's Blia Kedei Klipa.
Oh, so what does Hagala mean? Hagala means, no, scraping off the edge of the Kli is not good enough. The whole Kli is straight.
Hagala equals
Blia Bikulo, the whole plea, is belay. In which case, what's the rule according to? What's the rule according to this derech? According to this pshat? The rule is that Iroi Shenifsak Hakiluach is Mavliya Kidei Klifa. Is Mavliya Kidei Klifa. But Iroi Shelo Nifsak Hakiluach, right, which is the equivalent of this case, there is a shita like this. There is a shita like this. The Tosfos Zvachim quotes Rabbi Natan is holding this. Iroi Shelo Nifsak Hakiluach, Mavliya Bikulo. So now we want to, basically, we're not sure, is he giving us a bigger kula than we thought in Iroi Shelo Nifsak Hakiluach, or a bigger chumra than we thought in Iroi Shelo Nifsak Hakiluach? And this Rabbi Akiva Eger is not a lone voice, because the Shach himself in Siman Sadi Gimel changes his mind. As the Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes, the Shach himself in Siman Sadi Gimel says that Sivkat and Vav says, 1 second, I'll read it to you. Don't say that lo amrina and irik kli rishon elok shenafel b'kiluach. Don't say it only is mafliya when there's a kiluach. But if it just falls on the knife, all you need is greira, or to like stick in the ground. Aim raya klat. What I say? The greira nitza havi kiklipa. Greira is taking off a klipa. It says if it's a blade you stick in the ground, that's also cleaning out a klipa. Explicitly, greira is a klipa, but really, Iroi, even shenifsik hakiluach is mavliya. Right? Okay, that shach is very explicit. Rabbi Akiva Eger and the shach in Siman Sadi Gimel, he seems to change his mind about, not seems to change his mind about this, pretty before he changed his mind, said, no, the greira there means klipa. Of course, Iroi shenifsik hakiluach is mavliya kide klipa. Obviously. Yes?
Do we ever make a differentiation when it's chametz l'toch tzoneh, how hot it is?
Not until now. Therefore, what does Rabbi Akiva Eger say to Paskin? Right? So that's a good point. The Rabbi Akiva Eger here at the end of Sadi Beis, you know what he paskins? Not in terms of pshat, but sak halacha lefi Rabbi Akiva Eger is what them says. He says, Mechaber's wrong. We never made such a distinction. Not in one direction, not in the other direction. We never said that if it's nifsek hakiluach, it's not mavli at all. Now, you might think it is. What does the shacher say? He says, of course, if it's nifsek hakiluach, no problem, like above in Siv Zion. When it was running along the surface, if there was a break in it, it's now considered klisheni. But the shach elsewhere later on says, no, that's only because it was running along the surface. If there's a break, it's going to be shani. Because through the air, if there's a break, it's not considered klisheni. So the shach here thinks this big kula. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, we don't hold this kula. All the achronim reject this kula. According to Rabbi Akiva Eger and the shach in Siman Sadi Gimel, although he doesn't flesh out this half. We're saying the big chomer, Iroi shelo nifsak hakiluach is the mavli of the whole thing. Yeah, we don't hold that either. Maybe the Shiva Sedeshin did. There is a shita like that in Tosos. But that shita is not mainstream. We don't hold that either. So, what's the Psak Halacha of Rabbi Akiva Eger? He says that in this case, it is Aser Kedei Klipa. And in this case, it's Aser Kedei Klipa. And there's no difference whatsoever. Against! Whatever the Mechaber means, against that Mechaber. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eger concludes. He concludes that that both the ration safe for klipa is good enough. And this is Lamaisa, how we paskin. Lamaisa, how do we paskin? We paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eger. We're not sure what the Mechaber meant, but whatever he meant, whether he meant to be more machver in unbroken Iroi or more makel in broken Iroi, we don't hold like that, and we assume that that either way, it's also kedei klipa, and there's no difference between the two cases. Not just no difference between his two cases. There's no difference fundamentally between different types of Iroi. All types of Iroi are the same. We'll see there are subtle differences in other cases, but not in this case. Now, the Chazon Ish, though, has a nice ha'ara. Yeah?
Is that against the Ramah from before? It said, Nifsa HaKiluach, that goes to the kli that's so
in Siv Zayin, you mean?
Yeah.
No, it is not. This is what all the Achronim say. All the Achronim point out that, according to this way, it matches the Rambam and Siv Zayin. Right? Let's just fit that in. How do we fit in the Ramah in Siv Zayin, who says, Nifsak HaKiluach Eino Oser, right?
He says, here.
Exactly. He says, Nifsak HaKiluach is no problem. So according to this shot,
oh.
It's okay, I didn't really hope for much. Eventually, I'm going to get one. Did I?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm retiring now. And the ones before that didn't count. So one for one. According to this, the Shach says it's Nichah. This is exactly what the Shach and Siman Sadi Bey says. Exactly. If it's Nifsak HaKiluach, no problem. But all the Achronim say no. All the Achronim say that's not true. We Paskin even Nifsak HaKiluach Asur Kedei Kli, but what do the Rav Mas say there? It says no. Only Iroi Shenizchal V'Nifsak HaKiluach is Mutter. When the Ramah says Nifsak HaKiluach is Mutter, that's only if it was running along a counter in Nifsak HaKiluach. Then it's Mutter, because the counter cools it off. But it's going through the air, even Nifsak HaKiluach, but still Aser Kedei Klipa. That's what all the Achronim say above in Sif Zayin. Like the Dagom Rebbe there, and the Prima Gadim there, etc. Now, I just want to mention one other shita, which is the Chazanish. The Chazanish says a different shot. He says, he's not quite sure if this fits into the words of the Trumas Adeshen, but it fits into the words of the... Yes?
Just to clarify, so according to first way, the case where we talk about the Nafalchan of Tony, Daphne, the case of Irut Shalonis, like a Kilach, and according to the second way, be the exact other way around.
Exactly, precisely. Right, here what Shalon is saying. Sif, what was it, Beis, or whatever it was, I don't remember by now. Of Tzadi Aleph, not of this Siman. Tzadi Aleph, Siman, Dalid. Tzadi Aleph, Siman, Dalid, which says, Chamel Tov Tzorid, also Gidei Klipa, according to the first shot, that's only if it's Lunisak HaKiluach. According to the second shot, that's only if it's Nifsak HaKiluach. Correct. But we don't pass like either of those, which is why we pass like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Chazanish has another shot. Says the Chazanish, it's in... I actually brought it here. Simen is Chazon Shiur Day, of course. Simen Tes Sif Vav. You want to look up the Chazanish? I'll write it here. Simen Tes Sif Vav. He says a different shot, which he says he knows doesn't fit into the words of the Trumas Adeshen very well, but he thinks could fit into the Shulchan Aruch at least, and he thinks makes sense. He says very, very poshut. Here he says like this. He says this means no bliya, and this means kedei klipa. What's the rule? The rule is that Eroi is Mavliya Kedei Klipa. But he's not Machalati Nifsak and Lo Nifsak, the Ikaron. Just there's a rule. Eroi is Mavliya Kedei Klipa, but the Ramah mentioned this above in Siv Zayin. What Tanai? What temperature does it have to be?
Yatzoletis
Bo. So he says, here the rule is, it's not a rule. It's a Omdana. Which is that this drop is not Yad Soledetz Bo when it lands. The truth is that it's an Omdana. A drop from an oil lamp might be Yad Soledetz Bo when it lands. All Ibar is Mavashal or is Mavliya Kedei Klipa. But a drop from a candle, by the time it lands, is going to be less than Yad Soledetz Bo. Because you know, one little drop going through the air loses a lot of heat. So if it's just for a candle, it wasn't so hot in the first place, by the time it lands, it won't be Yad Soledetz Bo. And if it's not Yad Soledetz Bo, of course there's no bliya. Everyone agrees there's no bliya if it's not Yad Soledetz Bo. So the Chazanish says, we're not machalting two different types of bliya fundamentally. They're no different than different types of Eroi. There's just a difference between Yad Soledetz Bo and not Yad Soledetz Bo. Obviously, it's only hot if the Yad Soledetz Bo, and the Trumas Adeshen had an Omdana, had a Hashara. He, based on his experience of physics, he realized that when it drops from the candle and then goes through the air and lands on a Kli, it's not Yad Soledetz Bo anymore, so there's no problem. That is the Chazanish's pshat. So yes, it's a cool on the candle side, but not a cool of rewriting the rules of Eroi. A specific clue in this case is not yatzo lettuce, though. Okay, lemaisa, this exact case doesn't really happen, because like I said, all the candles you buy nowadays are kosher, and even the goyish candles, I don't know if they're really made from, you know, whale blubber, or from chelev of the velos and trefos, or, I mean, chelev even of kosher animals, etc. Some of they use chelev of kosher animals. But this is an important factor, because sometimes you do get these shilas. A drop of something, a drop of meat spilled on a milchik kli, a drop of milk spilled on a fleishik kli, etc. So what do you do? So according to the shach, a drop that spilled, if it wasn't coming straight from the flame, is no problem for the shach and tzadi beis. But we don't paskin like the shach and tzadi beis. We paskin in this half, like the shach and tzadi gimel, and like Rebbe Eiger, that even a drop that's nifsek hakiloch is a problem. But Chazanish says sometimes you have an umdana that it's not yatzo lettuce bo. So here you have to know this is one of the factors taken into account. Do we have a clear mesorah when we have such an umdana? No. But we all know from experience that if drops fly a long distance, then they're not going to be yatzo lettuce bo when you they land, and then that's going to be a big tzad lahakel. So in this case, if you actually have a real life shaila like this, then you have to figure out, even though we don't have a clear mesorah. In this case, is it obviously not yatzo lettuce bo when it lands, and then that's tzad lahakel? Or am I pretty sure that it's not yatzo lettuce bo when it lands, in which case if I have other tzad lahakel, I'll rely on it, etc. So lemaisa, we would take this into account. Lemaisa, halach lemaisa. What do we say, halach lemaisa? Halach lemaisa. Halach lemaisa. We say, like Rabbi Kiva Eger, but we also take the idea of the Chazon Ish into account, and if you have a case where it's just obvious that it's not yatzo lettuce bo, then you can be makel, or if you have a case where you're pretty sure it's not yatzo lettuce bo, then at least that's a good reason to add to other reasons.
Does it make a difference that in that case there's no candle, or there's no like fire in the actual pot that's spilled?
So then
it should be more like.
I'm not sure how the math works out there. Maybe more, maybe less. I'm not sure. It could be that a pot, even if you take it off the stove, might still be close to boiling, close to the boiling point, while the candle might not be close to the boiling point. I don't know. You have to work it out.
It's because of the fire. That's an example you get.
Right. Yeah. So you have to work it out. Yeah. Right, I hear the Taina. That's not how the Chazon Ish says it. The Chazon Ish says that he's saying this pshat, but from, he doesn't quote the Shach and the Taz here, he says, from the Trumas Hadesh, and it sounds like it's a different pshat. He thinks that the other Achronim think that even if Yatzu let us both, it's Mutter, because the Nifsek HaKiloch.
Right,
so he doesn't think they're saying what he's saying.
But you could just make the chiluk and shachat right. And said.
You could make the chiluk and say the same thing.
Can you feel it once it lands? Once it lands on the plate, let's say, you quickly.
No, after it lands, it's for sure not going to be yatzo lettuce bo. Yeah. The question is, as it lands. So therefore, you're going to have asharah, and you can do an experiment and get another case of the same distance of the same pot and see what happens. Just stick your hand at the same distance, splash a lot of drops, and see what it feels like. But generally, if it travels a decent distance and it's a small drop, it's for sure not yatzo lettuce bo. The problem is that you need a hashara because it's all a matter of quantity. Okay, that's about it for Simon Tzadi Beis. Except for one thing. Yeah.
Is this why Rabbi thinks that if you have two sinks next to each other, the issue, the main issue is mamashis as opposed to the plius?
Yeah, that's pashas. Especially after it bounces off a cliche, then it's like nizchav, it bounces off a cold plate. So I think everyone would agree. Okay, but yes. Okay, the one last thing is this discussion that Taz at the end. The Taz brings up the issue of a ladle, right? Is a ladle a klirishon or a klisheni? Right, so what is interesting about a ladle? You stick it into the klirishon. So on the one hand, it is inside the klirishon. But it's not inside the klirishon the whole time. You just stick it inside the klirishon for a little bit. So halacha lemaisa, the answer is going to be pretty pashut. There's a long discussion of the Taz here. He brings many rides back and forth. He starts with a Maharil. Says the Maharil that he thinks it's a klisheni. By the way, each one could be a chumra, could be a kula. How so? Tosfos discusses this. When it comes to tarfus or Shabbos, it's a chumra to be a kedusha. Then it's mashal and Shabbos, then it makes a bliya and tarfus. It'd be cool to be a kusheni. When it comes to kashering for Pesach, what do you mean? Let's say you want to take from a ladle and then pour it onto something and kasher it. So if it's a kli rishon, that's a kula. Oh, it's good. It's a kli rishon. It's powerful enough to kasher. It's a klisheni. It is a kula. So Lamaisa says the Maharil, and interestingly, all the discussions all start in Tosfos and Maharil, etc., with kashering. Because I guess there was something that was only convenient to kasher by taking in a ladle, and they wanted to know if that was okay or not. so what is he saying? He says it is a klisheni unless your show is a klisha showing all tocha klisha vashel bar brotchen va'odusham malavayim reticha shakir miskri gamu kli bisham. Unless you let it sit there for a while it's boiling, then it becomes a kli bisham. So says the Maharil, it is a klisheni, but mshoha tocha, then it becomes a kli bisham. Okay, what the Taz points out, the Maharil is not so clear, is exactly how long. It says one thing for sure. It has to sit there while it's boiling. If it sits there while it's lukewarm, it's not going to become a kli rishon. Okay, but for how long does it have to sit there? Obviously, shoa means a certain amount of time. He never said an explicit amount of time. The Taz, in any case, leans towards saying it is a kli rishon. Taz, bringing many brayas, he is convinced that it is a kli rishon, and even the Maharil would all, he thinks, you'd end up being kosher for kli rishon because, like, how do you know how long you let it sit and how long that would be, etc. In the end, he quotes that Tosfos dealt with this. Shuvra isi v'Tosfos per in ba'midin daf lama gimel of days. He remembered it was a Tosfos, and Tosfos was, I think, the first to deal with this in history, to the best of my knowledge. Tosfos is pretty old. And the Re says, again, it starts talking about koshering. And then he says that there are people who put a ladle, they used a bowl, they didn't have ladles, into the pot until it boils inside that ladle, and then they use that for agala. He's mesupak, if that counts as a kli rishon or not, and he was machmir both ways. He says, when it comes to kashering, counts as a kli sheni, you can't kasher with it. When it comes to tarfus, his example is called maligas atarnagoles, pouring hot water on a chicken before salting, which would be a problem if it was a kli rishon. Because then it would cook the blood into the chicken and make a treif. Maliga, you'll find a few cases in Maliga Satarna Golem. Let me just explain the Matzias. An important part of preparing chicken is defeathering. How do you defeather a chicken? So you could pluck out each feather. As you can imagine, it's very time consuming and not terribly efficient. So what's the best way to defeather a chicken? Very simple. You take the chicken and you just dip it in boiling water. The boiling water melts the feathers into a layer of plastic that you just, that you just peel off, and it's a very easy way to defeather. When you peel it off, you even get the little sticks that are inside, the roots, etc. So the way to defeather a chicken efficiently, if you don't want to spend a year doing it, if you want to do it in 3 seconds instead of a full day, is just to melt the feathers with boiling water. The problem is you have to defeather the chicken before you salt the chicken. And before you salt, the chicken is full of blood. So if you dip this chicken into boiling water, then you've now cooked it with its blood, which makes it permanently treif. So how would Jews do Maligas HaTarnagoles? Because that was a big question. How do Jews do Maligas HaTarnagoles? One of the questions is, what if we just pour boiling water on it? That'll be enough to melt the feathers and make them easy to peel off. But it won't be cooking. So the Rebbe says, hold on a second. If you take a ladle and do Maligas HaTarnagoles, where Machmer it's Kli Rishon, and you cook the chicken, it's a problem. So he's machmer both ways. So say Tosfos, Safek, Umachmirim, Lishnei Hatzadim. In the end, it becomes very simple. The Taz in the end says we'll go with Tosfos, but the Nekudas HaKesef says in the end we'll go with Tosfos. Halacha Lamaisa. That's what the Taz says in the end. That's what the Taz says Lamaisa. That's what the Nekudas HaKesef of the Shach right here agrees, and this is how we paskin. We paskin that a ladle is a 50-50 suffix halachically. We're machmer both ways on a ladle.
No matter how long I put it in.
No matter how long I put it in, right? The Rebbe was talking about putting it in. He didn't say how long. He says you leave it in until the heat rises from it. It sounds from there like even if you leave it in for a long time, it's still a safek. Now, there's one Mishnah Berurah who sounds like it could be if it's on the fire. Not sure that's relevant to Armitzius, because we only put labels off the fire. But at least if it's on the fire, maybe you leave it in for a long time, it's a vadai. That's a little difficult, because Pashup Shot is that Tosu says.
If what's on the fire?
The soup. Oh. On Shabbos, we never put a label on soup on the fire.
For Kasha,
I think. No, I'm talking about Shabbos. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah is only. The Mishnah Berurah is not in the place of Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah, one place of Shabbos, sounds like, oh, if you leave the label on for a long time, it's a vadai klivishon. That's difficult. If Tosu's talking about leaving it a long time, and only suffer klivishon. Not to mention, even that Mishnah Berurah is only if you leave it a long time on the fire. But nowadays, no one would leave the label on the fire. You're not allowed to label on the fire. So, doesn't seem to be a big factor. Anyway, halacha l'maaseh, we generally paskin. The ladle is always a suffix no matter what. That's the accepted psak. Okay, Vayter Simon Tzadi Gimel. Kedera shevesh lo basol lo yivash lo ba cholo. Betzalel, can I bother you to take a picture, please? Okay. Kedera shevesh lo basol lo yivash lo ba cholo. Okay, hopefully we know that already. Fleshy pot, you're not allowed to put milk in a fleshy pot. Gim bisho ba. Betoch me'es le'es. Aser b'no sing tam. Okay, and if you do cook, or at least milk in a fleshy pot, obviously the same the other way around, within 24 hours, then it will be aser b'no sing tam. Okay, here is the easy part. Let's just put the easy part here. You got the board? Here is the easy part. Here we want to know the din of the tavshil. Right, you cooked milchik in a fleshik pot. We don't want to know the din of the pot yet. We want to know the din of the food. Then it's very simple. What's the din of the food? If the pot was ben yomo, or the pot was eino ben yomo. So if the pot was ben yomo, then the fleshik paste in the pot is considered a good taste, and it can aser your milchik tavshil, or vice versa. So then what's the din? Aser b'nosing tam. So, what's the din? If the, for Sfardim, if the blias basar is nosing tam to the tavshil cholav, or if it's not nosing tam, if it's no Saint Tom, then the Tavshil is usher. If it's not no Saint Tom, the Tavshil is mutter. And how do you know if the blios of busser that were in your pot gave taste to your milchik Tavshil or not? If you're Sephardi, you give it to a guy to taste, and the guy tells you whether this tastes like regular Wacky Mac or like pepperoni Mac, Wacky Mac. Okay, that's for Sephardi. Ashkenazim, we mentioned a few times, or maybe we only mentioned once, but in Sadi Ches, it's an explicit machlokas between Machab and Ramah. Do we actually have a good taste or do we not? Ashkenazim say we don't actually have a good taste, we just measure with Shishim, and therefore for Ashkenazim, if the, now what do I want to write? If the bliest busser in the pot was more than a 60th of the tavshil, then it makes a treif. If the bliest busser in the pot was less than a 60th of the tavshil, then it doesn't make a treif. But how do we know how much busser is nivla in the pot? So, the answer is this magic formula found in the Gemara in Chulin. Excuse me for flipping around. Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. It's not the exact same case, but we have all the Yachronim, almost all the Rishonim apply this. We mishari the whole thing, because how much time came out of it, we don't know. Meaning, let's think about it. Let's say the pot, the actual, like, cheres of the pot, is like 10 fluid ounces. How much blee of busser is in that 10 fluid ounces? The answer is we have no idea. You know, my guesstimate is a lot less than 10 fluid ounces. You know, because, like, how much of it could be bleas busser? There's also other stuff in there, like the actual cheres. But since we don't know, Misharin Mikulo, we assume the whole pot is full of bleas busser. Because we don't know where to draw the line. Like, some chemists could tell us that this kind of pot, it could be, like, if it's very porous, it could be, like, 20% full of bleos. This kind of pot could be 50% full of bleos. This kind of pot could be 0.01% full of bleos. Who knows? But since we don't know, we assume the whole pot is bleos. That's true of everything. Right, that's true. That's the general rule of everything. If I take a carrot and I cook it in a meat stew, and I take that carrot out and I accidentally put it into milk, boiling milk, how much do I have to measure to be about the mashish? The whole carrot. Maybe the whole carrot's meat taste. That's not true. The whole carrot has carrot taste also. It has some meat juice and a lot of carrot also, but since we don't know how much meat blias in the carrot, we consider the whole thing. So that's what Ashkenazim say. We don't say the blias basar. We say if the volume of the walls of the pot is more than 1/60th of the top shell, then we call that Nesinas Tam, and that's usser. If it's less than 1/60th, then it's mutter. What?
Dafka in an old pot, though.
Dafka in a used pot.
In a used pot, like old. Yeah.
Obviously, it says it was a fleshy pot. If it wasn't a used pot,
no,
it wouldn't be a fleshy.
Used more than once, though.
No, even if it was used once.
You might know until where you filled it up from.
If you know how much meat you put in before, then you just make a shower 60 times that.
Not so pasha, because remember, we're mesupak if the bleas mefapeya up or not. Remember when it's looking at the we're mesupak if the bleas went up?
60, you don't have more bleas than meat. If you,
okay, hold that thought for a second. Let me just finish this. This is very easy. The pot was eino ben yomo, then the top shul is automatically mutter. Why? Because of no sein tam lefgam. Whatever tom the blios in the pot gave to your tafshel chalav are bad tom, is a bad taste. And nosin tom lefgam is mutter b'dieved. Okay, this is the status of the tafshel. However, it's a little more complicated, as we point out, because it's not so pasha that we have to be mashar in the whole pot. Who says we have to be mashar in the whole pot? Is it so pasha that we have to be mashar in the whole pot? So, it looks from here like it's so pashut. First of all, the shach has a question. Shach says, what do you mishar in the whole pot? And see if it's more or less than a 60th. Hold on a second. Go try any pot at home. Anyone know how to measure the volume of the pot?
Yeah.
If you don't know measure, it says someplace in the Pesach Tshuva. How do you measure the volume of the pot?
Water
displacement, right? Take a big tub of water with like a big measure, a giant measuring cup, not a measuring cup, a giant thing, and you fill it with water up to a certain point. Then you submerge the pot in it, and the water level goes up. However much the water level goes up, that's the volume of the pot. It's called the water displacement. Okay, very poshut. So, the problem is that every pot is more than a 60th of what cooks inside the pot. If you just work out the math, every pot is more than a 60th of what's inside the pot. So says the Shach, what does he mean, you're a shire bakulo? Just say it's always usher, because every pot is more than a 60th. So the Shach gives two technical answers. Either he says, yeah, that's what he means. He means you have to check, and the answer is always that it's usher. Or he says, no, if you have a really weird pot, it could be less than a 60th. That halacha must be seen that every pot is more than a 60th of the stew inside. It's just normal. If you make a really weird, even nowadays, all our pots are more than a 60th of the food that's inside them. But if you make a really weird shaped pot of really the right materials, maybe in a weird case it could be less than a 60th. Okay, that's not the interesting part of the Shach. The interesting part is the next part of the Shach. Says the Shach, this is the rule of Misharin Bikulo. But the Shach says there's an exception. What case is the exception? The exception is if you know how much meat was cooked in the pot, and you know that it's less than the volume of the walls of the pot. Let's say, for example, you know, now you don't have to know how much meat was ever cooked in the pot, just how much meat was cooked in the last 24 hours. Because whatever's more than 24 hours ago is irrelevant. That's Eino Ben Yomo. That's Nosen Tam Lefgam. Let's say you know, yes, I did cook meat in this pot, but I only cooked 5 ounces of meat in this pot. Then, you don't think Mishar can I get 5 ounces. After all, even if the pot is 10 ounces, but if you only get 5 ounces of meat, there can't be more than 5 ounces of meat taste in the pot. So says the Shach, Rule of Mishar Mikulo, do we have any exceptions? Says the Shach, yes. If im yadua kama basar bishel toch be'eis in the last 24 hours, then kenegdo im hupachos Ni, from the Kedera. Ni, Nofech HaKedera. I don't know how to say that in the Shas Hebrew. If you know how much you cook Me'es La'es, then you only need 60 times the meat. If it's less, then 60 times the pot. Right?
Good factor.
So to clarify that, Chuck, what is he saying? We assume that the...
Let's say, for example, the pot is 10 fluid ounces, but you only cooked 5 fluid ounces of meat in the last 24 hours. So then you don't need 600, 60 times 10. You only need 60 times 5.
Okay, so the assumption is that if you don't know how much meat there is, then what again? How does it work?
If you don't know, it's like the very examples. Let's say the pot equals 10 fluid ounces. I'm saying ounces as a measure of weight. I mean fluid ounces, a measure of volume, right? So you need 600 ounces of tavshil in order to be vatel, right? But what if during the last 24 hours you cooked how much meat? If you cooked 15 ounces of meat, then you still need 600, right? Because you need connected the whole pot. If you cooked an unknown quantity of meat, then you still need 600. But let's say you know you only cooked 4 ounces of meat. Then it's very nice that the pot is 10 ounces, but it can't have 10 ounces of meat taste because you only cooked 4 ounces of meat. Where would it get 10 ounces of meat taste from? It can't have more meat taste than you cooked in it. So then you only need 240 ounces. That's what the shach is saying.
Is it we can assume that there's always 60 times?
There's never 600 in the pot. Unless it's really weird. So you're going to be in trouble. Okay, but there could easily be 240. So if you know you only cooked a little meat, meaning I know I cooked a cholent in this pot in the last 24 hours. That cholent had a little meat, but not so much meat. So then I only need 60 times that little amount of meat that was in the cholent.
So that was my question. We don't view the whole cholent as one entity once we already cooked it. Meaning the meat inside, we only view that little
the meat. Only the meat is meat. The rest is tart, no?
It doesn't turn the whole entire shell into one item.
It does, but it turns the whole top shell into a very diluted taste of meat.
I don't say chanan, but meat.
Oh, because it's not us
right now. Right. And then that would be a different story. Okay, now here's the big controversial part. Says the Prima Gaddim in a whole bunch of places. I'll read one of them with you. This is on the daf so far. This is not on the daf here. It's in various achronim, chavos dases, and pisrei tshuvas, and Prima Gaddims all over, spread throughout Hilchos Bas V'Chol and Taruvos. This idea called Lefi Cheshbon. There's something called Lefi Cheshbon. What does Lefi Cheshbon mean? It means, think of it this way. Let's say I cooked not just 4 ounces of meat. I cooked a chullet with 4 ounces of meat and 36 ounces of other things. So it's 10% meat, 90% parv, beans and barley and whatever you like to put in your chullet. Right? Now let's think about it. The chullet I cooked was only 10% meat. So what do you think this pot was boleya? You think this pot is full of meat taste? No, because like logically, why should it be boleya meat and not boleya the taste of barley and the taste of beans and the taste of what else do we put in the chalent?
Potatoes
and the taste of all kinds of other yummy things, right? Meaning there's no reason the pot should discriminate and say I'm only going to absorb the taste of meat. The pot's not yeshivbach, right? You're not going to only absorb the taste of meat and reject the barley and the beans and the potatoes and everything else. It's going to absorb everything equally.
We don't know. I mean, that was a good for the whole chumrah of the Torah stuff, including Shariduga. I mean, we don't know how it works. I mean, it could be much more.
No, maybe not.
That's
your assumption. Or let's say another example. Let's say I cooked, it wasn't a plate, it was a milchik pot. I cooked a milchik, sometimes my wife makes potato leek soup. Potato leek soup with sour cream. And I see how much sour cream is in the soup. It's like 2% sour cream. It's mostly other things. So what am I going to say? The pot is boleh all the sour cream and not everything else? No, the pot's only boleh a little sour cream. So this is the chiddush called the fi cheshbon. The kul of the cheshbon is like this case. Let's say the pot equals 10 ounces. And in the last 24 hours, you know what I cooked? I cooked 4 ounces of meat plus 36 ounces of parith. Right? That's what I cooked in the last 24 hours. A cholent, which is only 10% meat. 10% meat is reasonable for a cholent. Now, let's think about it. It should only have blios of 10% meat. And therefore, the blios basar equals 10%, because that's 10%, and therefore equals only 1 ounce. Meaning, you don't have 4 ounces of blios basar. 4 ounces of blios basar if you just cooked a small amount of meat, 4 ounces of meat. That's the shach's case. This is better than the shach's case. I cooked a little meat with other things. So I don't have 4 ounces of blios of meat. I have 10% blios of meat. 10% of what? Of the pot. 10% of 10 ounces. How did I get these? For those who are need some help with the math, 10% is 4 out of 40, because 40 is 4 plus 36. And how is this 1? 10% of 10. So originally it was only 10% meat. 4 ounces of meat out of a 40-ounce cholent. So the pot was only 10% meat. Now the whole pot is 10 ounces. So if it's 10 ounces, 10% meat is only 1 ounce of meat. And if I cook 60 ounces on Beseder, that's a great kula. That's a great kula. Now keep in mind, none of this would have worked if it was treif meat. So if it was treif meat, it would have made it all chanan, and now it's all treif. But it wasn't treif meat, it was kosher meat. Right? It was kosher meat. So in this case, which means I would only need 60 to be mevatalin. This magical kula is called lefi cheshbon. But it's very logical. If the pot is full of blios, but it should be full of blios of everything. It shouldn't only be bully of one thing and not something else. Now, and since it was kosher meat, so we're not dealing with kisuf chanan, so it's only 10% full of meat blios and 90% full of power of blios. So when I then cook milk in it, it gets 90% power of blios, which are not a problem, 10% meat blios. In which case, it only gets 1 ounce of meat blios, and it should be batal even in 60 ounces. Only need 60 ounces to be mevatel. That's the kula called lefi cheshbon. This is mentioned a few times in the Mefarshim. There is one case. Just for example, if you flip back, do you guys have Prima Gadams on your page?
Yeah.
Go back probably like 2 pages to Simen Sadi Beis. Mishpitzo Zahav Chaf Dalet. If you want to turn back to Simen Sadi Beis, Mishpitzo Zahav Chaf Dalet. The last paragraph. It's like between little fingers in mine. Do you have fingers? In the Mishpat Zohar Chaf Dalet? Or are you fingers? No fingers?
No fingers.
That's so sad. Okay, well, it's the last paragraph of Chaf Dalet, which starts with the word Vidah. Well, you have stars. Yeah. They put stars instead of fingers, because they're too lazy to make a finger emoji. Okay, mine still has fingers, like the original one in Europe. So, Vidah. Lefize, and Bishlub Gedera Chadosha Mayim, Yishba Zayas Cholav Ochema. Okay, this is the exact case, just you start with milk and then to meat instead of starting with meat and then to milk. You cook water, which had it in a gazayas of milk or butter. Ve'acharka Bishlub Basar, and then later you cook meat in it. Ainser Shishim Neged Zayas Achelav. You don't need 60 is Cholav. You don't need 60 Keneged the whole milk. Kiyan Lefichezbon only proportionally. Fichezbon means proportionally. Masha'enkim Shal Isser Nasan Avela. Unlike an Isser, it's Nasan Avela. What does he say? He says you don't need 60 times the whole milk. Only 60 times the fraction of milk that was in the pot. The Mishnah is of the end of Chaf Dalet, and therefore he says, and even in Isser, it's Nasa Tavela, since Chanan Bishari Surin is only Drabbanan, you should know if you have 60 times the proportional amount, but not 60 times the whole thing, then it's only Nasa Drabbanan, and they're enough to beat us. Okay, the Shach is very, the Prima Gadim in 100 places is very clear on this, that we measure the Fichesbon, and many other places it's also clear we measure the Fichesbon. This comes up, for example, in the Piskei Tshuva. If I can find it quickly, if not, we'll have to wait until we see it later. Something's here. Um, Okay, we'll have to find it later. It's at the same Shuva, a little later. Just escape me now. Yes, yes.
Is it the same Svara as the Taz? The same page that Mishra was up with? The Taz and the Kapdalid? Talks about being able to cook the map out of water and Tifa Apollo falls in. So, and then after, within 24 hours, you cook meat. So he says you don't, you need much less than Shisha because the water and the milk gets mixed in, so even if it's being belayed by the walls, it's not the exact same amount.
Yes.
Coming out of the same spot.
Yes, yes. Just the that's where he's getting it from.
Right.
He's just taking it a little further, as we'll mention in a moment. Yes. So it doesn't. If it's half and half, then you would only need, that's another good example. Let's say you had 20 ounces meat plus 20 ounces power, that's your example. So then that's 50%. So therefore, the Blias Basar equals 50% of 10, which equals 5 ounces Blias Basar. Right? Say the same thing.
We say the same thing about Zay also. Zaya now also was split into what was in the top?
Could be. Yeah. I'm not sure in what case that's going to help us. Maybe in some cases. Yes, I'm telling you.
Are we folding up all the Svekas, like, to avoid Sveka? Because, like, into just, like, there's one suffix, how much went in, one suffix, how much came out, another suffix.
No, it doesn't matter. None of those are mitzvahs to a Sveka because they're all Svekas that are chesu and yediyah. Meaning, they're not objective Svekas. They're just Svekas that we are not sure how to measure. If we're not sure how to measure, but some scientists could theoretically measure,
okay,
then even then that can't count towards a sphinx.
Does it,
it's not an honest suffix.
Is it a one suffix, though?
No.
It's not a suffix b'chlal.
Right.
Oh, it's,
and we'll see some exceptions, but as a general rule, it's not a suffix b'chlal. Okay.
So we don't, Ashkenazim aren't just like, they're not being machmir misafik, meaning like in the sense of like...
Correct. We're treating that as a vada.
Also, I don't remember, but we said with like milk, it has water in it also. It's not just all...
No, that's cold milk.
That's cold milk?
That's cold milk. Now, one thing is controversial, I'll admit. What's controversial is, and this is discussed by some of the later chuvos, what about if you just cook meat in water, and the water turns into gravy? Do you say, well, that's only the fichesh bone, and that water is only like half meat, etc.? Or do you say, no, meat and water, that's all considered the gravy of the meat. That turns into one cheftza. It's only drabanah. Because meat or rice, it does get diluted. And by the way, this is because it makes perfect sense. Like, yeah, if I cook like chulent that's only 10% meat, then it all has meat taste, but it's not already diluted. So the diluted meat taste goes into the pot, it only has a diluted meat taste. This would be a big, why would this be such a big kula? Like, just for example, let's say you accidentally took your pot from chicken soup, and then you accidentally cooked milk in it. Okay, maybe now you can have a way to be matter that milk that you cooked in the chicken soup pot, because you say, how much of the chicken soup was actually chicken? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't all chicken. Maybe it was only a fifth chicken. If it's only a fifth chicken, it's only a fifth.
So the liquid would be machmir. If you're machmir by the meat, with the liquid would also be
right.
Machmir.
So the big question is, what's a little controversial in the achronim is, and if you want to see a discussion of this, anyone wants to see a discussion of this, they can see it's a shut beis Yitzchak, simon kuf aleph. Nothing to do with the Torah journal, Beis Yitzchak. Reuza Shmelkis, who's more famous for being one of the first people to pass about electricity. Here, get the copy. Take it home. Freebie, is that what our Kevin calls it? Anyway, what about if you cook meat and water? 20 ounces of meat and 20 ounces of water. Do you count that as half meat? Or do you count that as all meat? Because cooking meat and water is just like the normal way of getting meat taste and getting gravy out of your meat. And it's just like, you know, keeps your meat from drying up. So that's controversial. There are different deos about it, but lamaisa, I think we can be makel even in that case and count lefi cheshbon, in which case, when you're measuring shishim of what nivla into a pot, it's much more makel than it sounds like from just this ramah and shach, if the only thing you cook in the pot in the last 24 hours is a combination of fleshik and pariv, or a combination of milk and pariv, if it was a combination of treif and pariv, then it's all chanan and it's all treif, there's nothing to help you. But if it's a combination of meat and power, or a combination of milk and power, which is a common thing, then you can count it as not full of meat bleels, only proportionally full of meat bleels. And then, maybe, the thing you cook later will be 60 times the meat bleels, maybe not.
Just the case of the meat is a little different than the case of the milk, because the shishim that the stomach did for the milk was taking into account the water, because it's always there. With the meat, it's not always there.
Correct, that could be. Yeah, ultimately, it's just a matter of the way the Chum estimated it. It's not, you know, I don't think they're arguing about physics. They're just arguing about when the Chum made their estimation, how did they decree it? Okay, Vayikra. Now, that is as far as the food. Now let's talk about the Kedera. What's the status of the Kedera? So in the Shulchan Aruch, it's very, very simple. In the Torah, you know that it was not so pashut. In the Torah, there are actually three opinions. What's the status of the Kedera? So, one thing is very clear. If the tavshil is treif, the kedera is treif, right? Because now it's cooking a treif tavshil. So that's pashut. What's the status of din hakedera? Is green. So the kedera is clearly asura. If the tavshil is asura, the tavshil is forbidden, the kedera is forbidden, right? Because now it's cooking treif. What if the tavshil is kosher? Then what's the din of the kedera? If the tavshil is kosher. So what about this case? Right? If the tam of the chalav is batal in the basar, or tam of the basar is batal in the chalav, whether by spartan you see that by tasting and seeing there's no tam, or by ashkenazim it's less than a 60th. What's it in that case? So here, there are three opinions in the iter. Let's just define our case to make it simpler. What was the case? What was it first, and what did you cook? It's a fleshic pot that you cook milk, right? Yeah, that's clearly the case. The case is a bisari pot, and then you cook chalav, right? That is the case. Now, the iter has three opinions here. One opinion here is, says the iter, he has three opinions, say for iter. One opinion is that now the pot is chalavi. And what's the svara? The svara seems to be, when you now cooked a lot of milk in it, you kashered out the meat taste, and it became bottle, and now it's just a milky pot. Right? What's the svara? Svara is l'chora. Right? Svara is that it now absorbed milk, and it, and how do you say polite? It expelled the meat bleels. Okay, when you now cooked a ton of milk in it, so much milk in it that the meat was batel b'shishim, all the meat bleels got expelled, and the milk bleels got absorbed, so it's milchik. Second opinion is that it is Usser. What's the svara? The svara is that it now absorbed milk and it kept its bleos of meat. So now it has bleos of meat and bleos of milk, so it's usser. And those two opinions we can handle. The first one is similar to Raspa, we'll mention in a moment, and the second one is simple pshat. Yeah?
What's the case again?
Case is, I had a meat pot and then I cooked milk. But I cooked so much milk that the meat was batel b'shishim. So what happens now? So the first opinion says, well, it's obviously milk. I just cooked milk. And I cooked so much milk that the meat was batel b'shishim, so all the meat disappeared. The second opinion says, no, the meat stayed in the pot. Meat bleos stayed in the pot. And the milk bleos went into the pot. So now it's a treif pot. Third opinion, which is very difficult, is that it is now parith. That's very strange. I just cooked milk in it. Why would it be parith? Meaning, if I just cook milk in a pot, it's milchik. But if it was a fleshik pot and I now cook a lot of milk in it, it becomes parith. That seems very, very, very strange, right? So this svara is very difficult. Here, the Taz spends a long time trying to justify the svara of this weird cheat in the iter. And this is, by the way, the iter himself. That's why it's so strange. The iter himself holds this way. He says, I myself hold thou parith. That's the most perverse thing you ever heard, right? If I have a brand new pot and I cook milk, it's milchik. If I have a pot with a little meat in it, and I cook little meat taste in it, and I cook milk, now it's parv. So it's very perverse. The Taz works very hard to try and come up with a svara. Obviously, they say for iter meant something. the Nikud Zekesef has two aslagos on the Taz. One is that doesn't belong in a parish and Shulchan Aruch because we don't pass like that anyway, so why are you wasting our time? Okay, that it's a methodological point. The Taz thought that he was writing a parish and Shulchan Aruch, including a parish on the tour. The Shach thought that a parish and Shulchan Aruch should only be a parish and Shulchan Aruch. Just to be fair, the Shach wrote a different parish on the tour. It's even in this edition. And here I have the Sefer Aruch of the Shach. Okay. Right. And he also said that his pshat's not good anyway. Okay, we're not going to go over the Taz of pshat now. You can look in the Taz yourself and see if you are convinced. Lemaisa, how do we paskin? We paskin that it's usher. After all, it absorbed milk, and it absorbed meat yesterday, and that meat didn't go anywhere. It still absorbed milk. It still has absorption of meat. And now it absorbed milk, so if it absorbed meat and it absorbed milk, then it's a problem. How about the second case? How about this case? Where the pot was Eino Ben Yomo. So here, the Itter thinks it's a Dover Pashut. He doesn't say what it's a Dover Pashut. Exactly. But in the Itter thinks it's a Dover Pashut, that this pot is Mutter. Okay, what's not 100% clear is it Mutter in Melchik or Mutter in Parath?
According to the first answer of the Itter, would he say that when you're not going with water, all the water then goes into the pot? In the same way he thinks that the meat goes out, the milk goes in, when you go with water, all everything will go out and melt.
According to this staff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he would say, oh, then you don't need 60 times more, the water will taste, I guess.
No, because it's Eino Ben Yomo when you're kasher. Eino Chanami, you need 60 when you're kasher if it's Ben Yomo. Glad out halacha.
No, but if I were to, I'm saying, but if I were to use the pot 5 minutes after that, I go with water, then I wouldn't say I need 60 times the water in the walls.
What water? What's the problem with the water? Water is kosher parf.
Right. No, but let's say I cook milk afterwards, it becomes milchitz. We don't say that it's about the bashishim with the water in the walls. The reason is because water has no taste.
Okay.
So is that what he's saying? Is that the...
According to this one?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the case is. Here he says if you cook meat and then a lot of milk, it becomes milchik.
Right.
So if you cook water and then a lot of milk, it becomes milchik. Why is that?
No, I'm saying if you cook milk and then water.
If you cook milk and water, then he would say it becomes parf.
And then you draw gold. So
no, if you cook milk and then water, it's already parf.
Correct, it's parf because now there's water in the walls.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't say you need 60 times the water in the walls now to make it milchik again. But when you cook milk the second time, you don't need 60 times the water in the walls. Right? There's no taste to water, I think.
No, here also, if it wasn't 60 times, it would have both tastes, he admits. He admits when you don't have shishim, it has both tastes. So it would have both tastes. Okay, how about this case? This is a big machlokas. Says the Sefer Ha'itter that the pot is mutter in this case. L'chor, he might have. He implies it only if it's Ben Yomo. He doesn't say exactly why, but L'maisa, the Rabbeinu Peretz says that it is usher. What's the svara for Rabbeinu Peretz? The svara is that it now absorbed milk and it kept its glios of meat that are not Ben Yomo. But now you can't, now it is. But the problem is now it's treif. Why? Because it has bleus of milk. So you can't cook meat in it. It has bleus of meat. They're not Ben Yomo, but it's still bleus of meat. If it has bleus of meat, you can't cook milk. If it has bleus of milk, you can't cook meat. And that's exactly what the Machaber says. Let's just look at this Machaber for a second. Aval hakdeira, also levashvo lo basar v'lo chalav, ether amaval shar dvarim mutter. So how do we paskin? We paskin like Rabbeinu Peretz. We paskin even with Eino Ben Yomo. By the way, this can happen all the time. Just use an Eino Ben Yomo milchik spoon to stir meat. Okay, the meat's fine. But the spoon is now treif. Why? Because it has blios of chalav and blios of basar. But here's the interesting thing. What's the status of this spoon, this pot? Here's the interesting thing. Does this pot have any blios of treif?
No.
No, it has no blios of treif. Notice, I'm going to write this in a very lumbish way, but I'm not trying to say lumbish, I'm just trying to be exact. It has blios of chalav, It has blios of basar, but there are no blios of basar b'chalav. Because it never became basar b'chalav. You cooked milk with ein ben yomo with tam lefgam of meat. Cooking milk with tam lefgam of meat makes it not basar b'chalav. So it was never bolei of basar b'chalav. It was bolei of basar, it was bolei of chalav. But it was never bolei of basar b'chalav. It has no blios of treif, just blios of meat, just blios of milk. Therefore what? Give me a second. Therefore, usher levasho bo basar. It is usher d'oraisa to cook meat because it has fresh blios of milk. Usher levasho bo chalav min haTorah midrabanan. It is usher to cook milk midrabanan. Why? Because it has old blios of meat. Old blios of meat is still usher d'rabanan to use for milk. New blios of milk is also daraisa to use for meat. Right? Like right now, if I cook meat in it, that's an issur daraisa. So I'm cooking meat with a good tam of milk. If I cook milk in it, that's an issur darabanan l'chachila. Because it has a bad tam of meat. But, mutter, levasho, bo. Haven't they said pariv in the old days?
Vegetables.
They didn't have the word pariv. Either they said shardvarim or urakos.
Yeah, vegetables.
Right? Vegetables. Mutter, levasho, bo, urakos. Harif. Why is it mutter levasho bo yirakos? Because it has no time of treif. It has time of meat, so I can't cook milk. It has time of milk, so I can't cook meat. But it has no time of treif, so I can cook harif. Meaning, this pot now is a very lumdish pot. Why? Because it's milchik and fleshik, but not treif. Right? How can you have something that's milchik and fleshik and not treif? The answer is you can't have that in the food. If the food is milchik and fleshik, then it's treif. But you can have that in a pot. Why? Because it's milchik ben yomo and fleishik ain't a ben yomo. It's not treif, but it's still milchik and it's still fleishik. Okay, yes.
The yirakos would be chalavi?
The yirakos within 24 hours would be chalavi, perhaps.
Why perhaps?
Because it's really not bar not.
Okay.
Where did this
Durban
come from?
Ah, the last Gemara of Odozara says, if you have a pot that's ain't a ben yomo, it's really never going to make anything usher, because it's tam lefgam. But there are nonetheless also drabbanan to cook in it. What's the general rule? Last daf, not last sugya, last daf of Odozara. What's the general rule of eino ben yomo? By the way, sometimes that's just aleph beis yod. Is that bidi eved in chishel bo hatav shel mutter lechatchila. Aser levasho bo midrabanan. Why did the rabbanan aser cooking in an ein ben yomo pot? Zera ein ben yomo, atz ben yomo. It says in the last daf of Avodah Zarah, if you get used to cooking, imagine you get used to cooking in treif pots after 24 hours, you're for sure going to mess up and cook within 24 hours. You get used to cooking milk in fleshy pots after 20. You get used to having one pot just after meat. You wait 24 hours for milk. After milk, you wait 24 hours for meat. For sure, you're going to mess up. I mean, this is not one of these far out zeras. This is like Pashik Zera. This is like 100% Zera, not a maybe Zera. And not 100% today, but 100% eventually. And therefore, that's a Chomer Zera in Venyomo Ato Venyomo. Okay, I formulated the Zera in a way which is a little controversial in Lamdas, and Lamdas that is Nafkaminas. I formulated it as the Aser L'Chachil and Matur B'Dievet. Okay, we'll have to see if that's the right way to formulate it. We'll see, there's a big Hakira. Isn't that the Aser L'Chachil and Matur B'Dievet, or that they Asered the pot, but matter the food in the pot. Okay, we'll get to that. Okay, says the Shach, though. This Shach is a chiddush, because he's basing himself on a very strange se'if in Shulchan Aruch. Very strange se'if in Shulchan Aruch. And we're not sure how to apply it, but the Achronim accept the Shach. The Shach in Sivkat and Gimel says, imagine you went home, and you told your grandmother, you have to watch out for this pot. It was used to cook meat and to cook milk, so it's like milchik and fleshik, so you can't cook milk or fleshik in it, but you can cook pariv. How would your grandmother feel?
Confused.
It would be very confusing. It depends how lumdish your grandmother is. But assuming that your grandmother, did not come from such a lumdish family, She would be very confused. It's very confusing to people to have a pot that's like both milchik and fleishik, and both usher for meat and usher for milk, but not treif and mutter to cook parv in. Right? Especially nowadays, we actually have parv pots. Maybe it's a little less confusing. In those days, there's no such thing as a parv pot. I don't mean al pi halacha, I just mean al pi social reality. So it's very confusing for people. So says the Shach, he thinks that ulakama and kasa barav the nogin lasar aklisha inu yom filu shardvar mafil minichu barach kap ben yomo imkain kolshkin kam his bashul b'basar mamish. He says later on, you know what chumra the Rambam will have al pi minhag if I have not if I have an inu ben yomo pot an inu ben yomo fleishik pot and cook milk, even if I have an inu ben yomo fleishik pot and cook pariv and just stick a milchik spoon in it, he says it's treif. The minig is treated as treif. The pot. He says, even if you have the same ein ben yomo fleishik pot, you just stick a milchik spoon in it, you have the minig is to call the pot treif. So if you actually cook milk in it, for sure the minig is to call the pot treif. And therefore he says, he thinks the Ramah here meant al pi din, but al pi minig were more machmer. It's a big chiddush. Usually the Ramah would say if there's a minhag. But the Achronim accept the Shach. Says the Shach and the Achronim accept the Shach. Even though it's a chiddush, because he's saying that the Ramah here said the shard var mutter, but it's really asr al pi minhag. It's a chiddush, because usually if the Ramah meant there was a minhag to asr, he should have said there was a minhag to asr. But nonetheless, says the Shach, that al pi minhag hakadeira asura lagamre. And even though the Shach is a chiddush, because the Ramah says you're allowed to cook shard var, you're allowed to cook parim, how can he say that the minhag is not to? If the Ramah didn't say the minig is not to, the Ramah always recorded minhagim. The Ramah could have told us the minig is to consider a trait, and he didn't. Okay, nonetheless, since the good svara, and we don't want people to get confused, the later Achronim assume like the Shach, that the minig is to call this pot trait. So anytime you cook milk in a fleishik pot, anytime you cook meat in a fleishik pot, the minig is to call the pot trait. That makes things very simple.
What would be the svara to say that it was okay to cook vegetables?
Ah, it never has a plea of trait, right?
Okay.
It only has a blea of meat and a blea of milk.
But okay, and the vegetables would be milk, whatever was in last.
The vegetables would be whatever was in last within 24 hours, right? Right, like if you cook vegetables 8 hours from now, the vegetables will be milking.
We don't see midrabanan as a blea, so busting
up. Right, you could have said, al pi din, midrabanan, if you cook vegetables, they'll become meat and milk and treif, and therefore, but we don't say that. Okay.
Yeah, the case that happens when you put the spoon in or didn't put the spoon in?
The Shach made this following Kal v'chomer. If you have an Eino Ben Yomo, you start with an Eino Ben Yomo fleishik pot. If you cook noodles and put a milchik spoon in, the minig is to call the pot treif. So if you actually put milk in, of course you have to call the pot treif. It's a good, I mean, the question is whether you can make Havachom or Minhagim. Right? Remember, he says, the minig, we haven't seen this minig yet. We'll see it later. It's a crazy minig. Crazy meaning, very hard to understand the svara. But even if I cook noodles in Eino Ben Yomo fleishik pot and stick in a milchik spoon, I call the pot treif. As al pi minhag, not even your bottom, al pi minhag. Surely minhag.
Well, what if the noodles become nothing?
Yes, but the minhag, they would be a naf or not, and they wouldn't make the
okay,
but the minhag is called a pot treif. So if a milk spoon in the pot makes the pot treif al pi minhag, milk in the pot should certainly make the pot treif al pi minhag. Okay, this is an interesting philosophical question. You make halachomers in minhag. I don't know. Maybe you can only make halachomers in dina, not in minhag. But he assumes you can make halachomers in minhagim, or maybe more technically kolshikins in minhagim. You can make a kolshikin in minhagim, and therefore he calls a tray. And that's how we paskin. Okay, before we continue the Ramah, there are two other, there's this big taz, and this big nekudas hakesef, which discuss two other shitas mentioned in the Torah, the Rashba and the Rehalava. So let's mention the Rashba and the Rehalava for a moment. And that's the Taz at the end of Sukkot and Beis, and the Nekudas HaKesef, the long Nekudas HaKesef, the short Nekudas HaKesef in the beginning, about the Itter saying, don't waste your time giving Pshatim the Itter and your Pshat at that end. But it's hard to judge that the Taz's Pshat is bad. Yes, the Dachuk Pshat is better than anyone else's, so, you know, maybe it's a good Pshat. It's only bad to give a dachuk shot if someone else gives a shot that's not dachuk. Now, what's the sheet of the Rashba and what's the sheet of the real love? The Rashba is relevant to what we have on the board. Says the Rashba as follows. Now, you have to have some background in this. The background is there's a fundamental difference between hetera bala and isura bala. Between a blias heter and a blias isser. We find in many places a difference between blias isser and blias heter. I'll give you two examples. Ready for two examples? Blias heter versus blias isser. Okay, one, the Gemara never explicitly said there's a difference between heter and isser, but it's obvious unless you hold like one really weird verbose of Shalrashi that you have to say this. What's called not bar not. What does not bar not means? A secondary transfer. Don't paskin this at home yet. Well, I'm only telling you the ikra din, not necessarily minig Ashkenaz. But if I cook noodles in a fleshik pot, even if it's ben yomo, even if they get a good taste of flesh, they're still parv. If I cook vegetable soup in a milchik pot, even if it's ben yomo, even if it gets a good taste of milk, it's still milchik. Why? That's called not bar not, no sing tam, or no sing tam. It's a secondary transfer. Why do you, it's a no sing tam, a giving of tam from a giving of tam. What do I mean? The meat gave tam to the pot, and the pot gave tam to the noodles. That's a secondary tam. Secondary tam doesn't count. The milk gave tam to the pot gave tam to the vegetables. So secondary tam doesn't count. A primary tam, everyone agrees, counts. If I take a potato out of the cholent that was cooked with meat, and it got a one-step taste from the meat to the potato, that potato is fleshik. No two ways about it. Right? We paskin, you even have to wait 6 hours. But everyone agrees that it would be like an isser gummer to mix it with milk. Be treif gummer if you mix it with milk. However, a secondary taste is parif. Now, we Ashkenazim are machmir a little on this lechatchila. But me'ikar din we all agree, meaning if you go home and you find noodles in your fridge and you warm them up in the microwave with cheese, no matter how those noodles were cooked, they're kosher. Even if they're cooked in a fleshik ben yomo pan and they got a good taste of meat, and now you put cheese on them, you can eat them. Because they only got a secondary transfer from the meat. And that doesn't count. They're still parv. However, what if you cooked in a treif pot? That was ben yomo. Would your food be kosher?
No.
No, your food would be treif. Why? It only got a secondary transfer. Ham to the pot to your food. The answer is a secondary transfer of treif is treif. But a secondary transfer of kosher is parv. The logic being this. The taste of treif is treif until it disappears. Even a weak taste of treif is treif. However, a weak taste of kosher is insignificant. What's the reason? Treif is already treif. Even if it's weakened, it's still treif. Meat is not yet treif. It just could become treif if you mix it with milk. Once it's weakened, it can't become treif anymore. A weak taste can't become treif. A weak taste can't make a chalos. A weak taste can preserve a chalos, but a weak taste can't make a chalos. That seems to be the yesod. So here we have something called not bar not. Not bar not of heter is parib, it doesn't exist. Of isser is treif. What's the logic? It's a weak taste. It's only a secondary transfer. A secondary transfer of isser stays usser because it keeps its status. A secondary transfer of meat becomes pariv. Why? It's not going to make a status of usser b'chalav. A secondary transfer of heter can't become usser. A secondary transfer of isser stays isser. What's the yesod? Let me just write the yesod here. The yesod is that. Where am I going to write the yesod? The yesod is what's called a tam kolosh. Tam kolosh shall iser nishar beisuro. A weak taste of iser stays usser. But tam kolosh shall heter eino yachol eino yachol le we grow an isser. A tam kolosh of heter can't make an isser. So a tam kolosh of meat is parv. They can't make basar b'chalav. A tam kolosh of ham, of chazer, is still chazer.
Blias isser is dafka, like ham, not basar b'chalav.
Basar b'chalav also. Let's say I cook meat and milk in a pot. and then they got absorbed in the pot. I cooked meat and milk mamish, got absorbed in the pot.
So that's the same thing.
And then I cooked vegetable soup in the pot, then that's going to be treif. That's a napar not the isura. Or, let's say, I cook milk in a fleishik pot that's ben yomo, and there wasn't shishim, which there usually isn't. That's going to be treif. So that's not a secondary taste of heter. By the time we go to the secondary taste, meat to pot, pot to milk, that's already isser. Oh, that's a different story.
The case you're having to deal with that, you come home and find noodles in your fridge, that's if it's a suffix, what pot it was made in, or you know that it was cooked in a meat.
I'm talking about bidyevit here. You already warmed it up with cheese. No matter what your wife tells you about how it was made, it's going to be
after winter. You eat it. Made
even before you eat it, after you put cheese on it. After you warm it up with cheese, I warm it up with cheese. And if I'm Sephardi, I can warm. My wife can come home, tell me it was made in a minyomo fleishik pot, and I could put the cheese on it. Ashkenazim lechatchila. If my wife tells me it was a benyomo fleishik pot, I won't put cheese on it. But let's say I first warmed it up with cheese, and then my wife came home and told me, "You idiot, you put cheese on it? What are you, a goy? I thought you were a smicha student, and now you're a goy. This is fleishik spaghetti. I warmed it up. I cooked it in a benyomo fleishik pot, and you put cheese on it." Well, you say back to your wife. You'll say to your wife, "I appreciate your good heart and your commitment to a common sense idea of kashrus, but I'm eating the spaghetti with cheese anyway because it wasn't really fleishig; it was not bar not."
Is that what Rav Eisenstein would say on Thursday
night? I thought it was clear that I'm being a little tongue in cheek here, and I only mean to pask in the kashrus aspects. Which, you know, this is like the famous story, right? Of that there's different versions of the story, but the Rav's wife said to him, "Yeah, between you and your Shulchan Aruch, between you and your Shulchan Aruch, you'll trafe up my kitchen." Okay, two different masoras of kashrus. I think it was originally Marvel Diskin's story, where she said, "Between you and your Shulchan Aruch, we'll be eating chametz on Pesach." The same idea. Hey, you go to the Shulchan Aruch and you learn some things are mutter, but go try and convince your mother of that, then it's not going to work. Okay, which is probably all really good. Now, another example of this is, anyone know basic rules of kashering? If I use something for cooking, how do I have to kasher it? Hagala. What if I use something for broiling or baking? I have to kasher it with libun, right? So if I use something for cooking in hot water, I have to boil it in hot water. If I use something for broiling, barbecuing, or baking, or roasting, I have to kasher it with libun by making it red hot. Okay, how about the following case? What about a kli shetashmisho al yedei ha'or? I use it for fire. It is a baking tray, right? It's a baking tray or a spit, right? That was the common example, or a barbecue grill, right? Ve'hekshiro al yedei hagala. And you did hagala. You did hagala when you should have done liban. It needed libun, and you did Haggalah. What's the status of this kli? I mean, I don't think it needed libun. You would think it needed libun. A baking tray. This is a great example. A baking tray. A baking tray that you baked food on. And dry heat, or a grill. Right? And you kasher it with Haggalah. Right? Is it kosher or not? So you can tell me, obviously.
No.
Not. That's the whole point. Is between libun and Haggalah. You do the wrong. Ah, that depends. This is the last daf of Avodah Zarah. This is the last daf of Avodah Zarah. If it was treif, it stays treif. If I have a grill, and I put a treif chicken and roasted, I broiled one treif chicken on it. If I now dip it in boiling water, it's still treif. But what if I have a grill that I roasted one kosher chicken on? Just fleishik. And I dip it in boiling water? No problem, now it's parv. Why? Because it's doing the Yisurah Bala and Yitirah Bala. What does it do? It weakens the taste. If I do Hagala, it doesn't get rid of all the taste, but it weakens it. So if it's treif, a weakened taste of treif is still treif. If it's fleishik, a weakened taste of fleishik is power, because it can't create an Isser now. It's harmless. The example of the Gemara was not even fleishik and milchik. The example of the Gemara was kunchin. It says, how do you kasher a barbecue grill from kunchin? What's going to happen? What happens to the barbecue grill and the spit from Kachim? It becomes?
No, sir.
So he says, no problem, you just do Hagala. What do you mean Hagala? It was used for grilling. How can you do Hagala? He says, that's terrible, but it only absorbed heter. It's going to become Nosar later, but only absorb Heter. If it only absorbed Heter, no problem. And in Teira Bala, you have some Kulas. Okay, these are two Kulas of... One is called the Kul of Heter Bala, and Heter... By the way, this is Halacha L'maisa. Halacha L'maisa, if you have a tray baking sheet, there's no way to kashrate. You have to do Liban, and most of our baking sheets will break if you do Liban. Just hopeless. I mean, you could try. Put it through a self-cleaning oven. You know, but I'm not promising you what will happen. It might be bad. Right? What?
A grill you could do Liban on.
A grill you could do maybe do Liban on. Okay. But what if you have a baking tray that's fleshik and now you want to make it parv? Right? Or milchik, let's say, in a case Hagala. Where the minute would allow you. No problem. Just do hagala. Put it in boiling water. No big deal. Yeah, totally. Hetera bala is no problem at all. So we see there are kulas. Now, there are kulas. There are kulas when it comes to kashering, when it comes to the taste, not bar not of heter as opposed to iser, when it comes to kashering. And I'll be simple shot, you could say one does differentiate. I'll be simple shot, the is the same as so. The Rosh was not quoting both these, only the second. The simple shot is the same as so. There's a so called Tom Kolish. Tom Kolish of iser is usser, Tom Kolish of heter is ignored because it can never become usser.
Is this far that Tom Kolish of heter? You don't actually taste, and after it's all about tasting?
No. The it's beforeish even if you actually taste it. It's just not a strong enough taste. I don't mean it's not quantitatively strong enough to taste. It's not qualitatively strong enough.
How they call it this? I mean,
they were chazal. The truth is, that first of all, they actually probably experimented with these things more than we did. And second of all, okay, they were chazal. What do I mean by they were chazal? I mean, you know, maybe they had a Ruach HaKodesh we don't have, or it doesn't matter. Like, even without Ruach HaKodesh, they understood, they had a clear understanding in their Masorah of exactly what the halachic categories are and exactly intuitively what they mean to us, and therefore they were able to measure them. What's our problem? How come it's very hard for us to figure any of these things out? Because like, we're not sure exactly what they meant by all their halachic categories and how to apply them to our life. Okay, that's because we're 2,000 years later. They were sure exactly what their halachic categories meant. They had a very clear masorah. When you have a clear masorah, you could just look at something. You have a clear masorah, decent self-confidence. You can look at something and say, oh, this is pasha this way, this is pasha that way. We don't have such a clear masorah anymore because they wrote it down 1,500 years ago. And since then, we're not sure exactly what they mean by the words. Like, we know what they mean, but we're not sure exactly what it means, like, in our life. They were sure exactly what it meant in their life. They had a clear masorah, even besides Ruach HaKodesh. So they were able to do things that we're not. Okay, that's life. Now, says that, yeah.
Halacha Maisa, in terms of the baking sheet, does it make a difference nowadays that the fancy Macy's or cooking sheet, they have either plastic like handles or like so it doesn't heat up, or like anti-scratch, anti-stick layer?
Okay, so there might be a subtle difference depending exactly what it's made of. But let's say Teflon type of anti-stick or plastic handles. So that gets into the big machlokas, whether you can kosher plastic or not. We assume you can kosher plastic from milchik to fleshik. So it would not be a problem. Okay, now, but we'll see the different opinions when we get to it. Now, the Gemara says the following thing. The Gemara says they actually never koshered anything in the Beis HaMikdash. They never kashered any of their korban pots in the Beis HaMikdash. Not Hagala, not Liban. If they never kashered anything in the Beis HaMikdash, then it always had a bli of Nosar. Right? Because by the next Chatas by the next day was Nosar, and Shlom, and by 2 days from now was Nosar. So how could they cook anything in the Beis HaMikdash? It was always Nosar. So the Gemara says, no problem. Kol yom nasa gil l'chaveru. Every day was Hagala for the previous day. What does that mean? Every time you cooked something, it cleaned out the last thing you cooked. Every time you cooked something, it cleaned out the last thing you cooked. So therefore, shlomim would never be nosa, right? Sunday I cook shlomim. Then Monday, I clean out the Sunday cooking. And so it can never become nosa. It's done until Monday night. And Tuesday, I clean out the Monday blia. And Wednesday, I clean out the Tuesday blia. And Thursday, I clean out the Wednesday blia. And Friday, I clean out the Thursday blia. And I don't know what they did on Shabbos. All right, somehow it worked out. Seder. Somehow they worked out. Okay, Viking. And even the Chatas Blias, which by the next day would be Nosar, no problem. It would be so much more Shlomim than Chatas. They would cook the Chatas early and then cook the Shlomim afterwards. When we cook the Shlomim, we clean out the Chatas Blias. So what does Rashi say? We see from here that regular cooking takes out all the Blias. Oh, that's not true. We have rules about Gala. You can't just say regular cooking takes out all the Blias. If I go to a guy's house, and the guy says, I cooked a pot of pasta, now I'm cooking another pot of pasta. You can't say, well, it's kosher, because when you cooked the first time, you got rid of all the trace Blios. That's not true. There are rules for how to get rid of Blios. So, says the Rashba. Okay, here I'm prejudging myself a tiny bit. Says the Rashba. He says, in Isura Bala, there are rules for how to get rid of Blios. But in Etera Bala, all you have to do is maklish, all you have to do is weaken the Blios. Cooking takes out the Blios of Etera Bala. That basically is this Sefer Etter, right? He says, if I had a meat pot, and now I cook milk in it, and it was batel b'shishim, so it wasn't treif, the cooking of the milk cleaned out the blius of the basar. Why did it clean out the blius of the basar? Because it was a terebala. And it never became usher because it batel b'shishim. So says the Rashba. Says the Rashba. He says, Bishul Yerakos. Says the Rashba. If I cook pariv in a bisari pot, it becomes parav. Okay, good kula. Anytime you cook chicken soup in your milky pot, it's parav. Vegetable soup in a milky pot, it's parav. Vegetable soup in a fleshy pot, it's parav. Anytime I cook noodles in a pot, the pot's parav now. Okay, that's Yerakos. I mean, it doesn't have to be Yerakos, it just has to be parav. That's the kula of the Rashba. And you would say, that's a heterabola. Right? A heterabola. Only for a terabola, chas v'shal, not for a surabola.
Less than shishim.
What?
Say have a dish.
That's a matter of the shishim or not.
No, I'm saying, let's say you have a dairy dish with less than, very, very little dairy, less than shishim in the pot. And that you're cooking that pasta with a tiny drop of dairy. Is that also worth a pot?
I'm not sure. Sorry, Ian, maybe. Yeah, sure. Okay, the problem is, here we have a stira. That's the first sheet of the Sefer Itter, but we pass on to the second sheet in the Sefer Itter. And that's the stira. The kasha is, the question is, for the Torah. He was makel like the Rashba, but he was machmir against the first daya in the Sefer HaEtter. The first day in the Sefer HaEtter says, if I cook milk in a fleshic pot and it doesn't become treif, it kashers out all the meat. The Rashi says, if I cook parav in a fleshic pot, and we reject it, it doesn't. But if I cook, meaning, what do I mean to say? I mean to say that if I cook parav in bisari pot, it becomes parv. But if I cook milk in a bisari pot, even with shishim, so it doesn't become treif, then it stays bisari and chalavi and becomes treif. So that's a stira. How come in the Itter's case it stayed treif? It stayed fleshic. The Itter's case, we don't say, the basar is heterabola, so the milk will clean it out. But in the Rashba's case, we say the veggies will clean it out. That's the question. So, the Beis Yosef gives three answers for this stira. What are the Beis Yosef's three answers for this stira? Three answers for this stira. One answer is, I hope I'm getting the right order, but it doesn't really matter. The Rashba is talking about a kli mateches, and the Itter is talking about a kli cheres. A kli cheres is not kasherable in any way, shape, or form. The Rashba is talking about a kli mateches. You think of the Beis HaMikdash, they cooked in a kli cheres normally? I mean, the Chumash does discuss cooking in a metal kli or a cheres kli in Parshas Tzav. But come on, the Beis HaMikdash ain't a nios b'makom ashiros. They had fancy schmancy metal kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So, a metal kli you can kasher. A cheres kli you can't kasher. The Torah was made on cheres and yos bin dofi liolam. We have Masora. Torah tells us you can't clean out a kli cheres. So cooking vegetables cleans out a metal kli, but not a cheres kli. So you want to know, halach lemaisa, in your house, you cook noodles in a flesh kli, does it become parv or not? The answer is, it depends. If it was a cheres kli, it doesn't become parv, because it's hard to clean it out. If it's a metal kli, it doesn't become parv. So it cleans it out enough that it has no more taste. The second answer is...
How in the world do you explain the iter?
What?
How in the world do you explain the iter?
The iter has big kulas. He thinks you can't clean out a kli cheres from treif, but you can clean out a kli cheres, from a tera vala. Maybe. It's a svara. Or, like the Taz says, only by kudshim we're not kli cheres. Really, the rice we're not machmir by other things. Okay. The second answer is that here, it's reasonable for pariv to kasher bisari. It's reasonable. Something pariv should kasher out something bisari. But it's just perverse. How can milk kasher out bisari? How can milk kasher meat? It doesn't make any sense. Maybe only a durabanan, right? But it's not reasonable for milk to kasher bisari. It's not reasonable for milk to kasher bisari. That's just, it certainly looks bad. What do you mean? Now that I cook milk, that should kasher out the bisari? Nah, that's like perverse. How can milk kasher meat? Milk should treif up meat. I won't literally treif it up because it's batel l'shishim. But it's not right for milk to kasher meat. It's right for karet to kasher meat. Or the third answer of the Beis Yosef, these answers. Third answer of Beis Yosef says, very simple, says water can kasher. Because what are the vegetables in? When I cook pasta, am I cooking pasta? What am I really cooking? Water with pasta in it. When I cook vegetables, am I cooking vegetables? What am I really cooking? Water with vegetables in it. I wasn't cooking pariv. I was cooking pariv in water. And that's an okimta, but it's a fair okimta. Whoever cooks vegetables not in water. Whoever cooks pasta not in water. You always cook in water. But milk cannot kasher anything. Just water is different than milk chemically. Water has the power to kasher, and milk doesn't have the power to kasher. It's not about meat and milk. It's just when the Torah says, what did the Torah say about kashering? Anyone know what the Torah says about kashering? It says in Parshat Tzav, v'mechlinu choshet bushala u'morak v'shutaf ba mayim. It says in Parshas Matos, v'asher lo yovel v'esh taviru v'mayim. Now, okay, the whole sugya in Zvachim is mayim davka or shar mashkim. There's a whole sugya about that we'll get to in Mirtz Hashem. But on a simple level, you could say mayim kashers, cholav doesn't kasher. Mayim kashers, even if it has pasta in it, even if it has vegetables in it, mayim kashers. But mayim can kasher and cholav can't. Okay, those are the three answers of the Beis Yosef. Those are the three answers of the Beis Yosef to this question. Yes?
I don't get number two.
It's a great question. It makes more sense as a derabbanan svara. Because as a derabbanan svara, like, if it gets the bliya out, it gets the bliya out, right? The only thing I can think of is either it's a derabbanan svara, or what he's saying is this. The Yerokos leaves a weak bliya of basar in the pot, which then turns parv. The chalav leaves a weak bliya of basar in the pot, but the chalav also goes into the pot and combines that weak bliya of basar. So maybe that's already Isura Bala, not Hetera Bala. So maybe it's Daraisa Svara. Yes, there's only weak bliya of basar left, but it's already together with chalav, so now it's Isura Bala. It's Isura, not Hetera. And that's based on an assumption of some of the Achronim that we'll see a little later, that even when you have bit of a shishim in the top shell, there could still be Hanan inside the walls of the pot. Because in the walls of the pot, it'll stick more. Okay, but that's a little controversial. Now, all right, we have We just have to finish the sukkah, whether we like it or not. Then they ask another stira. They ask the stira from the Torah quoting, I think it's a Sefer Truma, in Siman Tzadi Dalet. What are the Torah quote in Siman Tzadi Dalet? And this is the... this is going to be the tricky part. Siman Tzadi Dalet, he talked about if you cook water in a fleshik pot. And it was clear that it didn't become parif. He basically, if you cook water in a fleshik pot and then you cook milk in it, the milk won't be usser. But he didn't say you can't cook milk in it l'chachila. So here's another steer in the Torah. The Torah in Siman Tzadi Dalet and the Torah in Siman Tzadi Gimel. Here he paskin like the Rashba, that the pot becomes parif. And here he paskin like the Sefer Truma, which imply that the pot is not parif in the same case. These are both if you cook water in the pot. So what's the answer to this stira? So here we also have a few answers. Says the Taz, you know what the answer to this stira is? Says the Taz, here is if you cooked for the same length of time, and here is if you now cook for a shorter time. Says that's the answer to the stira. The Rashba's kula was only if you cook the vegetables. If you cook the meat for an hour, you have to cook the vegetables for an hour. Then it weakens the taste of the meat enough. But if you cook the meat for an hour and you cook the pasta for 9 minutes, that's not good enough. And therefore, in Siman Tzadi Dalet, you cook the meat for an hour and you cook the water for 9 minutes. That's not good enough to make it parif. In Siman Tzadi Gimel, you cook the meat for an hour and the vegetables for an hour, and that's enough to make it parif. Because after all, the Rashba's case was where you cook shlomim and shlomim. The shlomim you cooked in the same amount of time. The Nekudas HaKesef here in the Shach gives three other answers. Of course, I have no space for the three other answers. Says the Shach, but I just want to... He gives his first answer. He says very easy, same answer as before. The Rashba referring to a Kli Mateches, and the Sefer Truma is referring to a Kli Cheres. Okay, easy answer. Just one of the answers Beis Yosef gave before. Right? Or he gives two other answers. So let's just continue this someplace. Where is the someplace? Siman Tzadi Dalet and Siman Tzadi Gimel. The Shach's second answer and the Shach's third answer. This is the Shach's first answer. His second answer in the Nekudas HaKesef is that here is that the Rashba is talking about a case where you cooked a full pot. If you cook a full pot, then you're cooking the whole pot. And then it can take out the blia. Tzadi Dalet, we're talking about where you cook a half full pot. If you cook a half full pot, then you only kasher the bottom half of the pot, not the top half of the pot. His third answer is, Siman Tzadi Gimel is talking about where you boiled, where it was boiling hot, right? Where it reached boiling, Ma'ala Ratikla. That's the Rashba. And here you're talking about where it was less than boiling. And therefore, boiling kashers, less than boiling does not kasher. Okay, this brings up, of course, this brings up a fundamental machlok between the Taz and the Shach, when this will end. When the Rashba gave his kula, how big of a kula was it? How big of a kula was this Rashba? Was the Rashba saying, stam cooking your rakos makes your pot pariv? Or only if you cook your rakos in water and you fill up the whole pot and you make it reach boiling, it makes your pot pariv? According to the Shach, he was only makel if you fill up the whole pot with boiling water. Is that much of a kula? If you fill up a whole pot with boiling water and boil it, then it kashers your pot. Is that a big kula?
That's a really good idea. Is what kashering is.
That's what kashering is. That's what agola is. Right?
But not ben yomo.
Yes, if it's a terabolic, then you have not burnout. So, this is the fundamental machlokas, and with this we will end. What did the Rashba really mean to be makel? According to the, I apologize for this mess, I should have made a new board, but you'll make a new board in your notes. According to the Beis Yosef and the Maharshal and the Taz, it's really a new kula. The Rash meant a new kula. Since it's a terabala, you can kasher it by just cooking. Okay, you might have to cook the same amount of time. According to the Shach in the Nekudas Akesa, no. It's just the regular rule of Hagolah. Then what's the whole Chiddush of the Rashba? The Chiddush of the Rashba is this. Even if you used it for broiling, you can do Hagolah. That's all the Rashba meant. He didn't mean to make a new kula that's not in the Gemara. Or that we didn't already know. This is the fundamental machlokas. According to the Shach, the Rashba is not giving a big kula, he said. The Rashba's kula is just that you need to do a full Hagolah. So what's the kula if you're doing a full Hagolah? You need to fill it up to the top. You need to boil the water, you need a full Hagala. So what's the kula? The kula is only that if you had used it for roasting, you can still do Hagala. But you need a full Hagala. According to the Taz, the Rashba is giving us a nice big kula, and the Beis Yosef and Marshal, a nice big kula. Even if you don't do the rules of Hagala, you don't fill the whole thing up. And you don't necessarily boil it. You just cook vegetables for an hour. That's good enough in that kasher satera bala. So this is a big, big, big... This is a big, big, big machlokas. What is the Rashba telling us? Is he telling us a new big kula that you, for hetera bala, you don't need the rules of agala, you just need a cooking for an hour? Or is it for the shach? No. For hetera bala, you need a full hagala according to all the rules of hagala. You need boiling water all the way up to the top, the regular rules of hagala. In which case, it's a very small kula. As a matter of fact, it's not a kula at all if you cook meat. It's only a kula if you roasted meat. Okay, halacha lemaisa, it doesn't matter. Because the Shach says that it's not a big kula and we hold like the Rashba. The Beis Yosef, the Marshal, assume that it is a big kula and we don't hold like the Rashba. So miman of Shach, we don't hold from a kula here in the Rashba. And that's why the Rashba is not in the Shulchan Aruch here. Why does Shulchan Aruch not say, well, if you cook parav, it makes your pot parav again? Because it's machlokas why the Shulchan Aruch didn't say it. Either according to the Shach, because the Rashba didn't mean if you just stomp cook, it makes your pot parav again. He means if you do a full hagolo while cooking, it makes your pot parav again. So it's not a big kiddush. So the Shulchan Aruch didn't say it. According to Beis Yosef and the Marshal, it sounds like in the Taz, he meant a big kiddush. For a terabala, any cooking, at least for an hour, is enough to kasher it, even if it's not the regular rules of Agola, even if it's not boiling hot, even if it's not all full. Any cooking is good enough for a terabala. That's a big kiddush, but it's not in the Shulchan Aruch because we don't paskin like it. So either way, Lamaisa, we don't paskin like any kiddush of the Rashba, and what do we paskin? We paskin, the only kula is, if you use it for broiling, you can kasher with Agola. But you need to do a full Hagala, meaning it needs to be at the boiling point, it needs etc., etc.
Well, we start for all the Shach's answers.
What?
We start for all the Shach's answers as one.
Yes. Yes, we say they're all true.
The Shach holds
that. The Shach holds that all his answers are true. Only one of them has to be the difference between the answer and the Sefer Truma. They're all true. The Rashba's Sefer Truma, but they're all true. Meaning the Rashba's only if it's metal, and only if it's boiling, and only if it's up to the top. He has a little suffix at the end, but then he retracts. Anyway, halach lemaisa, that is we're saying the Rashba, but either way, we paskin the same thing. We paskin, the only kula for a terabala is that you could do hagala to broiling and baking materials. But you have to do a real hagala. You can't do a fake hagala. You can't just do a cooking and call it hagala. It has to be a real boiling hot hagala. Okay, to be continued, we answer Shem.